So what we've been talking about is Jonah being called by God. God says, I need you to go east to the city of Nineveh and tell them that they need to change, tell them to repent. And Jonah says, I don't think so. I don't like those people. Those people don't like me. And they don't deserve to know about you. And so he takes off and goes west, as far west as he possibly knows to go. And on the way, he gets on a boat. God sends a storm. Things are not going well. Jonah ends up in the ocean by his own, not design, but is by his own word. He says, throw me over. And so he ends up in the ocean, and God appoints a fish to swallow Jonah. And Jonah's there for 3 days. Last week, we looked at Jonah's prayer in the belly of the fish. And at the end of chapter 2, you see that God tells the fish it's time to regurgitate, and Jonah ends up on dry land. And so this morning, we're going to pick up in chapter 3, and we're going to see what God tells Jonah to do. So if you look in chapter 3, verse 1, and we'll start there and we'll read through chapter 3 and we'll see what God has to say. It says, then the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. Get up, go to the great city of Nineveh and preach the message that I tell you. So Jonah got up. He went to Nineveh according to the Lord's command. Now, Nineveh was an extremely large city, a 3-day walk. Jonah set out on the first day of his walk in the city and proclaimed, in 40 days, Nineveh will be demolished. And the men of Nineveh believed in God. They proclaimed a fast and dressed in sackcloth from the greatest to the least. And when the word reached the king of Nineveh, he got up from his throne, took off his royal robe, put on sackcloth, and sat in ashes. Then he issued a decree. By order of the king and his nobles, no man or beast, herd or flock is to taste anything at all. They must not eat or drink water. Furthermore, both man and beast must be covered with sackcloth, and everyone must call out earnestly to God. Each must turn from his evil ways and from the violence he is doing. Who knows? God may turn and relent. He may turn from his burning anger so that we will not perish. Then God saw their actions, that they turned from their evil ways, so God relented from the disaster he had threatened to do to them, and he did not do it. This morning, I want us to look at this concept of repentance. We're going to look at the issue of repentance, the need to repent. And we talk about repentance. Repentance is not a term we use in our daily language, but it is a term that often comes out in a church. And so if it's something we don't use very often, what does it mean? In the Hebrew, the word repent literally means turn. To turn. We see actual repentance, physical repentance in Jonah. Jonah is going west. He's headed to Tarshish. He ends up on dry land only by the mercy of God. And God comes back to him and he literally turns from going west and he goes east toward Nineveh. So literal turn, it is a repenting. It is me not going this way anymore. I'm going to go this way. And we use it not always literally, but we use it as the metaphor of the way I am living my life, of the things that I am doing, of the actions that I take, of the attitudes I have. I am going to repent. I am going to turn from those things. I recognize that they are not good, that they are harmful, that they are against what God has for me, and I'm going to turn from that, and I'm going to live and act and behave a different way. But literally here, Jonah repents. He turns. He says, I'm no longer going to be going west. I'm going to go east. And he obeys God. We don't know how long it takes Jonah to get to Nineveh. It's not like he jumped on a plane and got there in a few hours. It probably takes him several days, if not a week or two, to get to Nineveh. And when he gets there, he sees this great city. It doesn't say he does this, but you can kind of imagine if he gets up kind of on a high hill and he's able to look at the magnitude, the humongous city that Nineveh is. We don't know exactly how many people lived in Nineveh, but it's probably over 1 million, with Nineveh and the surrounding areas, if you want to think of them as suburbs of Nineveh. So there's lots of people here that need to hear this message. And Scripture says it's a 3-day walk. And what he means by that, it wasn't a 3-day walk from where he was to Nineveh, but it was a 3-day walk. If you started on one side of Nineveh and walked across the other one, it took you 3 days. That's a lot of city. And so he goes and he begins to preach. He begins to do what God has told him to do. And his message is 40 days and it's over. 40 days and God's going to destroy Nineveh. 40 days and it is done. Jonah's message is not one of repentance. Jonah's message is not turn or burn. Jonah's message is none of that. Jonah's message is in 40 days, you're a goner. And it's interesting the way the people respond. They don't laugh at him. They don't say, dude, you're in the greatest city. You're in the greatest city this world has ever known. It is huge. Look at our armies. We are a major nation. We have all the technology, all the firepower, all the walls. We are safe. They don't laugh at him. Better yet, they don't kill him. They don't say, I don't like this guy's message. It's time for him to go. But instead, what they do is they respond. They respond from the greatest, from the nobles, from the king, from those with money, the aristocracy, to the peasant, to the least. Everyone recognizes that this God Jonah speaks of means business. Everybody recognizes. The term for repent or turn occurs four times in 3 verses. It's a major concept in this passage, a major theme. We need to repent. The people recognize we need to repent. We need to change. And against everything that you would expect, this violent, this mean, this evil city of Nineveh puts on sackcloth. Now, sackcloth was not everyday wear. Sackcloth was a public sign of something going on the inside. Sackcloth was very uncomfortable. Sackcloth was itchy. It just wasn't comfortable. It didn't fit right. It wasn't a t-shirt and jeans. But it told everyone, I am in mourning. Something's going on in my life. And so they put on this sackcloth. And it's a sign of mass repentance. Why do they do this? Interesting, historians tell us that things are going on during this time, some natural phenomena, if you will. That it's been a time of famine. that it's been a time of plagues, that even there have been eclipses in the sky. And the way that the people of Nineveh interpreted this, and the way many others would interpret this, is that these are omens of something bad to come. So when Jonah shows up, a guy who had been puked out of a fish, I'm sure word got there about this story, that Jonah shows up and he starts proclaiming and preaching that a God is going to destroy you. They didn't really want to push back. And it's amazing how God uses the natural phenomena, uses the natural things of this world to allow people to look to him. You think about it. When you start having, if you're a farmer and your livelihood is based on the need for water, you turn to God in prayer. Even the pagans do it. When you start having plagues, like all of a sudden these bugs and insects start eating your crops, or maybe some kind of sickness starts going through the city, and you begin to cry out, we need something. And all of a sudden, there's this strange thing happening in the sky. Catches your attention. And God uses all of these things to get the people ready to hear the message of it's time to change. But you need to recognize something. Repentance is always a work of God. It's always a work of God. God may use his natural things to grab your attention, but the act of repentance is a work of God. Repentance is necessary, but here's the thing. Here's the question. Is salvation a change of behavior? The people of Nineveh change their actions. They relent. They say, I'm no longer going to do that. But did they turn to God? Says they believed in God, or they believed God. Maybe they believed that God would do what he said he would do, but did they change their action, lead to commitment, lead to fellowship, lead to relationship with God? And after reading and after studying and thinking about the city of Nineveh, I think they just changed their behavior and never became a people of God. He said, but hold up, they believed in God. They changed what they were doing. Doesn't that mean salvation? I think there's some key things missing in the story that will illustrate that I don't think that these people really became in relationship and covenant with God. That they just said, I'm going to change my behavior and I'm not going to act this way anymore. Jonah preaches the judgment of God. 40 days, Nineveh's destroyed. 40 days, and God is going to tear this place down. 40 days, Sodom and Gomorrah, take two. 40 days, and we get to watch destruction. And Nineveh's going to change their behavior. But do they really enter to this relationship with Yahweh? Again, I don't think so. If you look at the text, and if you know anything about Hebrew, there are multiple names for God. There's the covenant name of God, Yahweh. That one is spelled with, you usually have it in your Bible as Lord, with all capital letters. That's God's covenant name, Yahweh. And then there's the word Elohim, which means God. It could be any God. It could be the God of the Ninevites. It could be God Yahweh. But it's not a personal name. It is just the term God. We would differentiate by capitalizing it to make it God Yahweh, lowercase for any other God. But it's the same word in Hebrew. It's Elohim. And the Bible says that they believed Elohim. They believed God. They didn't believe in the covenant, known relationship, Yahweh aspect of God. They believed God. I think there's a difference there. I think there's a difference in knowing that there is a God and knowing God. There's a difference in knowing about God and saying, I believe in a God, and really knowing and having relationship with God. There's a difference in saying, yes, I believe Jesus existed, and having Jesus as your Lord and your Savior. And I think the people of Nineveh believed that there was this God that Jonah's speaking of, who would bring destruction. But I don't think they ever said, I want him to be my God. I want him to change me. I want him to work in my life. There's no mention of the people of Nineveh giving up their gods. There's no mention of them turning and leaving their God. There's no mention of sacrifice to God. These things are mysteriously missing in this story. You see, the guys on the boat, you remember when they encountered God, they sacrificed to him and they made vows. None of that happens in the city of Nineveh. So what do they repent from? They repent from their violence. They repented from their evil ways. Even people who we would consider bad recognize that their actions are sometimes bad, and that they probably shouldn't do what they are doing. They repent. They say they're sorry. They want to change their action of the injustice that they have toward others. And when we started Jonah, I told you a little bit about the people of Nineveh, the Assyrians, some of the cruel and evil things that they would do. And they say, well, we're not going to do that anymore. And notice what the king says. The king sends out a decree. It says, by order of the king and his nobles, no man or beast, herd or flock, is to taste anything at all. We're having a fast. We have to show our seriousness in this. Don't eat, don't drink, not even the animals. Furthermore, both men and beast must be covered in sackcloth. And everyone must call earnestly to God. So they are going to pray to him, but what are they praying? They're praying, please don't make this happen. Please, I want to survive. Please, I want to live. Please, I want to get out of this situation. How many times have you or people you know prayed, God, get me out of this, never intending on really knowing him or doing what he said he would do? Say, God, you just get me out of this situation, and I'm going to do X, Y, or Z. And you never have any intention on doing X, Y, or Z. You just want God to rescue you. And this is the key for me. He says, who knows? God may turn and relent. He may turn from his burning anger so that we may not perish. The whole goal in the sacrifice, in the repentant act, the whole goal in the sackcloth, the whole goal in their prayer is to say, God, don't do that. None of it is, God, we want to know you. None of it is, God, I want to know who you are. God, I want to sacrifice to you. God, I want to give to you. God, I want relationship with you. None of it is that. It's all, God, save our bacon. It's all, God, please don't hurt us. And people cry out across our land and across our world this same thing. God, help me out of this situation. I'll be good. I'll change my ways. God, help me. Please, don't let it happen. Never intending on getting to know him. Their goal is to survive. They hope he turns and that he would not do what he said he would do. They just don't want to die. They say, we'll change our behavior. But I wonder, is changing your social behavior the same thing, or is it sufficient for salvation? See, the church has often used repentance synonymous with salvation. You've got to have repentance to have salvation, but I wonder, can you have repentance and feel sorry and not want to do something without having salvation? I think people do it all the time. I know people who've walked the aisle from the time I was a child, stayed in church for a while, became leaders, and then decided I'm going to live the way I want to live. I'm going to fix my behavior for a little while, and then I'm going to do whatever I want to do. You say, can you have repentance without salvation? I think you can. It's called self-help. We have this concept of what we call moralistic therapeutic deism. I know that's three big words you don't use every day, so let me break down for you. Moralistic, my behavior. Therapeutic, therapy, I'm going to make it better. And deism, I'll call on God when I need him. So I'm going to change my behavior, and if I need God, I'll call on you later. Churches are filled with these people. Churches are filled with people who want moralistic, therapeutic deism. God, I'll be good. I'll fix myself. I'll take everything that I need to do. And you sit in the corner, and I'll call on you when I need you to. That's exactly what happens in Nineveh. I'm going to change my behavior. I'll call on you to get me out of this. But there's no follow through. I think Jesus has a parable in the New Testament about this. He says the man goes and he sows, and seed falls. And he talks about the different soils. And one of the seeds comes up, springs up, but it has no roots. And so when the sun comes down on it, it withers away. Another one falls, and it falls within a bunch of weeds. And it starts coming up, but all the weeds just overtake it. And it dies. I think people respond to God oftentimes, but never find salvation, because they just want to change their behavior. They don't want to change their God. They want to be God, not him. You could change your behavior. We've got thousands and thousands of self-help books. You can change your habits. You can change this. We've got programs to help people change their behavior. You hear on the TV over and over again about addicts, and you can go to this clinic, or you can go to that, or maybe you can go to AA, and you can change your behavior. But if you don't change your God from you to him, there's no salvation. It's just different behavior. people can change their behavior on their own. They can turn from what they're doing. They can be sorry about their actions. But just because you're better doesn't mean you're in a relationship with God. Just because you behave better doesn't mean that you know God. That's why Paul prays over and over again, that you may know God. Not just believe in a God, but know Him. There's no indication that Nineveh enters into a covenant relationship with God. Jonah preaches. Nineveh changed their behavior. How many sermons have you heard? You change your behavior, but you never had a relationship with God. You can have social change. Social change is good. Christians should be part of social change as long as it connects to God. But social change without God is just behavioral adaptation. It's not changing who you serve and finding salvation. I wonder, what about you? What about you? Some of you may have been in church all your life, and you've had behavior modification. Maybe you believe that there's a God, but do you really know Him? Do you really trust Him? Is He really your God? Are you in relationship with Him? Or do you just call on a God whenever you're in trouble and hope He helps? If the guys play, I'll give you time to respond. We always think about the people of Nineveh turning to God and that it was a great revival. But I don't think they turned to God. I think they just changed their behavior. Have you changed your behavior, or have you turned to God? As the guys play, will you stand and respond to God? If you want to turn to God today, I would love to talk to you about that. Will you come? You come down, we can talk about that. Maybe you want to come down and you want to pray. Be obedient to God. Father God, we thank You that You are holy and that You give us repentance, but that repentance is not just a change in behavior, but it is a change in God. That we take ourselves off the throne and that we follow You. We lift You high. We praise Your name. We obey Your command. God, I pray that we wouldn't fool ourselves into behavior modification, that we would truly follow You and know about You and be obedient to You. In Your name we pray. Amen.